chapter 22, if you will, please. Acts chapter 22. Chapter 22 of the book of Acts actually records the Paul witnessing after he's been arrested. He was arrested in chapter 21, and the last verse of chapter 21 says, "And for when he had given him license," when the man in charge, the soldier in charge, had given Paul license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. And then from verse number 1 down through verse number 16, Paul gives his testimony to these people about being saved. We sometimes wonder how we can be a witness, and it's not always possible to do what Paul did here. I think it's a very powerful way of witnessing when we can tell people what we know Jesus has done for us. And witnessing, in fact, is witnessing defined in verse number 15, says, "Thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And that's the definition of witnessing. Witnessing is just simply telling people what we've seen and heard. Tell them what Jesus has done for us. Mr. Hamlin, the songwriter, said, "It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you." But the reverse of that is also true. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for you, he can do for other people also. And as we give the gospel out, the Lord uses that. Now, the Bible promises us in the book of Isaiah that God's word will never return to him void, but will accomplish that which he sent it forth to do. And we don't always know what God is planning when he sends forth the gospel, but we know he always has a plan, and we know that he'll always use the gospel for his honor and for his glory. And so here we see witness defined as simply telling anyone and all people what we've seen and what we've heard. And then we should mention too here, the Apostle Paul says that in verse number 15, thou shalt be a witness unto all men. I think sometimes we hinder our effectiveness and the amount, number of times we give out the gospel when we try to predetermine, prejudge, and try to rate maybe in a certain order from 1 to 10. This man, he's about a 7 that he'll not be angry when I talk to him, or he's about a 3 and he'd listen to anyone say anything, and we try to set these levels of people rather than just looking at them and saying inside that body, be it decrepit or dirty or nasty or repulsive, inside that body is a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And our gospel witness might be the difference in where that person is going to spend eternity. Sometimes we talk about the down and outer people. But let me tell you, there's as many people that are up and outer as there are down and outer. And people hide behind their funds and hide behind their positions and hide behind their titles and hide behind their luxuries and so forth. But they need Jesus too. Doctors and lawyers need the Lord Jesus, and candlestick makers and butchers need the Lord Jesus, and the man on the street needs the Lord Jesus, and the one helping you in the print shop needs the Lord Jesus. People need Jesus. And here the Holy Spirit of God tells Ananias, verse 12, Ananias. The Holy Spirit tells Ananias, "I want you to tell Paul, I want him to be a witness. I want him to tell people what he's seen and what he's heard, and I want him to tell everybody." Doesn't matter what race they are, doesn't matter which one of the two genders they are, and incidentally, there's still only two. And we need to tell anybody and everybody about the Lord Jesus and what he can do for them based on what we know he's done for us. And of course, when we get discouraged and we get disappointed in the Lord, then we're less apt to boast to people about what he's done. We're going to talk a little bit about that in the morning service. I hope you'll pray for that. I felt a special burden as I worked on it and got everything down, got everything pat and folded everything up and put it in my briefcase and started hearing the Lord said, you know, you got that thing completely out of order. I want you to change the way you're going to deliver that. And I said, but Lord, he said, but I want you to do that. And so we'll see how that all works out. But God is good, and we just need to tell people that God's good, and we need to be encouraged in our own heart. We need to encourage ourselves sometimes. Sometimes there's not much encouragement anywhere else, but we need to encourage ourselves when that be so. So verse number 16 says, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And here there's just so much truth in all the Bible. And so he says, now, why tarriest thou? You know, we in Colorado, there's Mexican people everywhere. Someone says, well, are they Mexicans? They are if they come from Mexico, amen. And in fact, if you find somebody from Mexico and you call them a Texigan, which is somebody of a Spanish descent that's from Texas, they call them Texicans. You call a Mexican a Texican, and he gets upset. A Mexican's not ashamed of being a Mexican, and that's not a slur word. That's not a racist word. That's just an identifying word. And the Mexican people use the word often, mañana. Mañana, you know, why bother me now? Mañana, it's too hot to work now. Oh, it's too cold to work now. The sun's too bright now. Well, it's too dark now. Mañana, mañana, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow. But you know, we do that too. We do that too. We're driving down the road and God lays on our heart to go see somebody and we say, well, Lord, you know, I have this plan, maybe tomorrow. And we miss an opportunity. Then tomorrow we forget, or tomorrow it's the next day and we forget. And so Ananias says to the Apostle Paul, and now, you know, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Well, now is the time to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. Sometimes the Lord will say, would you write a letter? Would you send a text? Would you send an email? Will you go knock on a door? And sometimes we say, mañana. Tomorrow I will. Tomorrow I will. And so Paul is faced with this. He says, and now, why tarriest thou? And of course, I guess what Ananias is saying is, I'll give you a time. I'll give you the opportunity to give me any excuse you want to give me. Why tarriest thou? And of course, you know, when we're asked why tarriest, why do we tarry? We always have an excuse. And of course, we know that the definition of an excuse is that it's the skin of reason stuffed with a lie. It looks good on the outside. It's like furniture that's made out of that plastic wood, you know, that false wood, pressed wood. It looks good on the outside, but when you get inside, it's just kind of crumbly and no good, and doesn't stick together. That's what an excuse is. Now, sometimes there's reasons. There's a difference between an excuse and a reason. But excuses are just the skin of a lie, the skin of reason stuffed with a lie. And so Paul is confronted with this. And why tarriest thou? And then he says, thou. In other words, Paul, it's up to you. You can't blame anybody else for your tarrying. You can't blame the council, the Jews, the Gentiles. You can't blame the people that were with you when you're on the road to Damascus. There's nobody else you can blame. It's up to you. It's up to you, and of course, if we're going to be used of the Lord, it's up to us. Nobody else can make the decision for us. When we were younger, our parents made decisions for us, and we did that because we feared the results if we didn't. Other times, people of influence influenced us to do different things, but really, when it comes to serving the Lord, no one can make you serve Him. There's not a preacher with a golden enough tongue and a large enough vocabulary and flowery enough speech to make a person serve the Lord that doesn't want to serve the Lord. And you can always find an excuse. Boy, the devil's good at coming up with excuses. But we need to understand that we're the ones that have to answer, and we're the ones that have to make it up. And so we just need to get in and do what we're supposed to do because we love Him. And somebody says, well, how can I love Him more? Just consider how much He loved you. We love Him because He first loved us. As we go through the Scriptures, we see the different things that the Lord Jesus has done for us. And we think back in the history of all the times that God could have taken us off the planet Earth, and He spared our life and spared our health and all those different things. And as we think on those things and we think about how close death was, or how close a tragedy was, and God intervened some way, it ought to just cause us to fall in love with Him. And when we love Him, we'll want to serve Him. Jesus in John chapter 14 covers it pretty well. If we love Me, keep My commandments. And while we need to understand today that no one can make us serve the Lord, and no one can. No one can. When we sit down and say, I'm not going to do that, we say that in our heart, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to serve God. Now, we probably wouldn't say it that bluntly or that boldly, but when we keep coming up with excuses, that's really what we're saying. And while it's true that no man can make us serve the Lord, let me share this wonderful truth with you too. No man can keep you from serving the Lord. You know, they were going to keep the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul and Silas went to Philippi, and there they said, we've got to be where people are. So they went down where the ladies were doing their laundry, and they met Lydia, and they won her to Christ, and then they were out and about, and this girl started following them. A devil-possessed young woman started following them and harassing them and harassing them and harassing them, and so they cast this devil out of this young woman. And when they did, they were arrested for that. Said, you can't do that here. And they arrested them and put them in jail. And in jail, after being beaten and all the things that happened to them there, they won the jailer and everybody that was in the jail. They won them to Christ. I don't know how many were in the jail, but I know this. I know when the jailer was going to kill himself, Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Indicating that all of them had trusted Christ. Anyone who hadn't gotten saved would have beat it out of there. They wouldn't have stuck around, but they stayed. And it just doesn't matter. No matter how hard the devil tries to shut you up, there's a testimony if our hearts are right with God. We can tell people what we've seen. We can tell people what we've heard. And the Bible says here now, why tarriest thou? It's up to you. It's up to you. And I'm glad, I'm excited about some movement I see in the lives of some people, and some things I've heard people say, and some things I see people doing that they've never done that before. They're out on brand new ground. They're venturing out away from camp just a little bit and trying the business of serving the Lord in different fashions and different ways. And it's exciting to this preacher. And the Apostle Paul fought the same thing you and I fought. That of having excuses offered to us all the time. Nobody can make us serve Him, but nobody can keep us from it when we decide we're going to do that. So he says, now why tarriest thou? ? And then he says, arise and be baptized. Once a person has trusted Christ as their Savior, once the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in their heart and their life, once their sins have been taken away by trusting Christ, then the next a proper thing to do is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, believer's baptism is a wonderful thing. It's not the annual bath. It's not to wash away any sin. It doesn't do that. It's not to flaunt things. It's to be a witness and a testimony of what God has done in our heart and our life. Now, I like to tell people when I'm talking to them about baptism that there's a lot of things you could do. Once you get saved, the Lord Jesus comes to live in your heart. You just kind of get excited. In fact, I think that when a person really gets saved, I think they have to teach themselves not to continually be excited. You know, a person gets saved, they come into a church, and they're in with a bunch of people that are no longer excited. And after a while, they kind of say, well, I guess maybe I'm not supposed to be as excited as I am. And they kind of cool off. But when they first get saved, they just so want to tell people, so want to tell people about the Lord Jesus and what He's done for them and what He can do for them. And we try to share Christ with people. And you could go out here on the street. You could go out here on any street, any highway. You can flag down the cars and tell them, hey, whoa, 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 I want to tell you what Jesus did for me. And they'll run around you and tell you that you're foolish and tell you that you're a knucklehead and you're a fanatic and all those things. Or you could get on the phone and you could call people up and you could say, hey, look, you don't know me, but I want to tell you, click. But there is a way that you can tell people all that Jesus has done for you. And that's by following the Lord in believer's baptism, showing his death, his burial, his resurrection. What an exciting thing it is when people determine they're going to serve the Lord. Now notice what he says here, that the wording of the Bible is always important. He says, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Notice this, calling on the name of the Lord. When you call on the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive him as your personal Savior, your sins are washed away. They're washed not in the tub, but by the blood, washed away, made clean. And then every sin that comes up after that, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we call on the name of the Lord and ask him to forgive us and clean us up, and he does that, and what a wonderful thing that is. Now, the Apostle Paul here, the command was something urgent. It was something important. He was to arise. He was to be baptized. And being a Christian is a faith of doing things. It's a doing thing. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And so we need to understand that sometimes the doing starts with forgetting some things. Maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe it's time to forget that. Maybe you've made some mistakes in the past. Maybe it's time to put that in the past. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. Ask the Lord's direction. Apologize to anyone you need to apologize to. And for whatever you need to apologize for, then get busy and do your faith. And then the Apostle Paul said in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, verse number 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And he says, as a result, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. And so we need to understand the fact that we are to do some things. When we see the Apostle Paul, he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And when you look at the Apostle Paul's life and you see the things that he did, those are the things we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to do them because we love the Lord Jesus. And he says, as a result of that, the peace of God will be with us. Some people wonder and wonder and wonder, where's the peace of God? They talk about the peace of God that passes all understanding, and I don't understand that because I don't have that. I don't see that. I crave that. I desire that, but I don't find that. You find that in being saved, being obedient, and doing what the Lord wants us to do. And then let me mention this too about if calling on the name of the Lord isn't what washes away our sins, then anything else makes it a work salvation. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans that salvation is either works or it's grace. Can't be both. Cannot be both. It's either works or it's grace. And so we find the Apostle Paul is told to arise and wash away sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I have a note written beside this verse in my Bible. It says, the stander-by is as guilty as the committer. And there's another place that talks about consenting. That's where I hear in the same verse. It says, and consenting. You know, when we're not against the things that God's against, then we are consenting that they're okay. And there's just a number of things that we could name. Laws surrounding liquor and drugs and those types of things. We need to take a position on that. And if we whatever position we take is whether we're committing those things or not, if we're not willing to say that's wrong, then we're saying that's okay. Abortion is another thing. It's either wrong or it's okay. One of the two. Middle ground on that. No lukewarm place on that. It's either wrong or it's okay. And we need to understand that when we are a stander-by, we are consenting that those things are okay. And we need to understand that that's just not so. Some things are not okay. And the Bible says that I was consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So here the Apostle Paul, going back in his testimony, he says, the day that Stephen was killed, he was stoned to death. I was there. I was consenting to his death. I was standing by. And the Apostle Paul later considers himself a murderer because he stood by while others murdered Stephen. And so we need to understand the seriousness of being a stander-by. And he said unto me in verse 21, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So here we find that the Apostle Paul, making reference back to the time that he's sent forth now to the Gentiles. And if you're here today and you're a Gentile and you got saved in the United States, you're probably a product of the Apostle Paul's witness as it went up through into Wales and England and then came over here on boats and so forth with the Puritans, and the gospel came here and then from other places also, but primarily from that place. And so he says, verse number 22, and they gave him, that's these people he's talking to, this Jewish crowd, they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. You remember what God told him in verse number 18? He said, and they saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And now they're proving that what was said to him is absolutely true. Now they're saying that he should die. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Well, how would you like to get examined that way? We talk about a cross-examination on a witness stand. How would you like to be examined by scourging? That's what they're going to do. That's their intent for the Apostle Paul, that he might know whereby they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. And I trust today that you'll underline that in your Bible. I was freeborn. I was born physically free because I'm an American. Thank God for that. Amen. And let me say too about that, that though my freedom cost me nothing, I was born into a free family and in a free land and had a lot of freedoms as I grew up. I've paid for some of those things, taxes and so forth to help keep law and order, and taxes to keep the military strong and so forth. But I was born free. It cost somebody else a whole lot. Every war we've had has cost lives and blood, and people have bled and died. And some people are in heaven today because they died for America, and some people are in hell today because they died for America. I was born free. I ought to appreciate that. And then secondly, when I got saved, I was freeborn. Free to me. It cost Jesus everything, but it was free to me. And I ought to appreciate that. I ought to labor for him because of that. I ought to want to serve him. I ought to look for opportunities to serve him rather than trying to find ways to get out of what I know I ought to do. Excuses? Excuses? Excuses, we see them all the time. We need to understand the idea of serving God. It's because we love Him. And we either do or we don't. And we're the ones that have to make that decision. Father, would you help us today to serve you because we love you? Help us to love you, Lord, so that our server will want to be dedicated to you. Lord, I pray for a great service this morning. Pray that folk would come in, that the building will be filled with a spirit of witness, a spirit of wanting to know the truth, a spirit of camaraderie, Lord, and fellowship. Ask you, Lord, to be glorified in all that we do, all that we say, all that we think. We'll thank you for good results. In Jesus' name, amen. God